Hey guys, it's Andy here in another episode of the Mountain Malarkey podcast with Dave.
Hello, everybody.
How are we doing, Dave?
Yeah, not bad.
We realised that when we do the Tuesday tune-in over on Facebook, which we've been doing during lockdown, we had some comments and requests around, you know, not everyone's on Facebook, but people still wanted to hear about the content. There's been some great stuff. We've talked about bags. We've talked about Battle of the Treks. We talked about trekking boots, mindset, fitness, loads of stuff. And we thought to ourselves, well, why don't we turn these into podcasts? Because, like you said, Dave, they're sitting down listening for an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is a great format. You can do it on the go, put it in your car, listen to it. It's a bit interactive, so you're going to have seen us answer questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
You know, but if you're listening to this, obviously, and you have any questions about any of the things you hear, podcast@evertrek.co.uk.
Awesome, Dave. Yeah, enjoy the episode, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, all the best.
It's going to really stretch my maturity to be able to get through this Tuesday tune-in.
You really
where there's lots of puns, innuendo, and stuff like that, but no, it's a problem that a lot of people struggle with, and we're going to broaden it as well to include other sort of helpful topics and advice about heat management, hygiene management, all of that stuff that, you know, can go by the wayside when you're on a far-flung remote mountainside, you know?
It is an interesting one. Hey, Andy, how you doing? Rachel and Alison as well, great to see you here. As Dave said, we chose a little bit of a weird one today, but it comes from, I saw on social media, and obviously it was the London Marathon, wasn't it, on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to all our Evertrekkers who, you know, took part, and well done as well. London Marathon, you know, is a challenge, heck of a challenge in its own right. I know a lot of Evertrekkers. Bri, I think you've taken it on, I'm sure. With your running history?
It's better weather this year. Do you remember that one year? Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember where it was like, it was boiling, wasn't
it? It was dangerously hot.
I think it was insanely hot. And I think it was a real nightmare for people to get around.
And I think obviously leads us on to today, which is obviously when it comes to the chafe, I'm sure a lot of runners have kind of felt that happen over the years.
Nipples I used to get a lot.
When
I was training for the half marathon.
What did you get?
Sore nipples.
Yeah,
really
horrible,
sore nipples. That was the other bit that you said.
Yeah. It's definitely this is where the we'll come on to the use cases of Vaseline, you know, from a trekking perspective, mm-hmm. A bit later. Jim, how you doing from the Lang Tang? I couldn't wait because I've seen some of the pictures I've seen from Lang Tang recently and I keep sharing. Jim looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks difficult as well. A lot of steps, a lot of climbing. But I hope you're enjoying, mate. It'd be nice to hear on the live, how things are going. I've obviously heard it's a beautiful place to trek, and obviously I know you're ascending now. So keep us updated. It'd be great to hear how it's going and how the day was today as well.
We've also got Georgie Boy. He's on you. Alison, Rach.
Nice, good to see you. And Jerome, of course, the rock man himself,
and Kate as well.
Where's Kate?
She's just arrived.
Ah, just arrived. Literally, yours is updated differently to mine. That's
yours is. I can't handle your one because my comments, the newest ones, arrive at the top.
They do, don't they?
Yours arrive at the bottom.
They're a bit strange, right?
Yeah, I can't
we'll
handle
have to
it.
Fix that. But hey, Kate, I hope all is well. Great to see you on the live. Right, and we'll come back to where we started because basically, I saw this sign, which I'm going to bring in as well, which I thought, fantastic. I'll bring it in. And this sign there, I saw it in the London Marathon on Sunday. It says "Keep chafing your dreams," which I thought was bloody hilarious. Definitely want to get that on a t-shirt, and it kind of going to bring us back in. And made me think about, okay, you know, you're having in a difficult situation, something like the London Marathon, like a trek, something like that. You're having things that don't go to plan, like chafing is just one of them, right? It's something that can happen that can really, really damage, especially the day after or that evening when you're walking around like John Wayne, and you know you've got the chafe, and it does happen to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna bring it back again because I absolutely love it.
It can be a real pain.
Keep chafing your dreams.
Yep. It is amazing, and it can be. It can really stress you out. You know, if it happens, I'm very lucky that I don't get the inner thigh chafe.
You've never really had that.
Never had the inner thigh chafe.
Wow.
I've never had the inner thigh chafe. I've had other chafes.
Yeah.
But never the inner thigh.
Oh, I see what you mean. Different parts of your body.
Yeah, like it's
you
strange.
Don't necessarily have to go into detail.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's like to do with where you sweat or just the sort of mechanics of your body and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you, I know John, the great bald Yeti, he gets inner thigh. I don't struggle get inner a lot. Thigh.
Yeah.
I remember one time you bought the wrong cream.
Oh, that was and that, it, that
it
was
basically
bad
like
news.
Thinned out your skin, didn't it?
Well, it was in Kathmandu, and we'll go through a story. So we did the day tour. So on Everest Base Camp, obviously you land, and then the next day you go on the day tour.
Mm.
And in Kathmandu, it can be really hot. This was in, I think, September 2017.
Yeah.
And we were walking around Kathmandu. It was very hot. I was wearing very baggy kind of shorts. And yeah, I had seriously bad chafing that day. And that was before we even started the trek. So off we go around Tamil, clearly not used to, maybe a little bit naive in terms of what was available, and came across this cream that was recommended to me. Mm. And it turned out to be steroid cream. You know, the ones that kind of, I don't think it's meant to be applied to
like
broken skin. So yeah. It was a little bit of a learn for me.
Well, I remember the next day you were like, my skin is just like, you were like, it's gone wrong in a polite way.
Well, you win or you learn.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That was a big learn that day. One, not to always trust what you buy on the streets of Kathmandu. certainly go to more reputable places, but hey, you know, you live and learn, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It was sore for a few days. Luckily, stopped using it. Felt fine for, you know, took me a couple of days to recover, and I had to walk kind of a different, you know, different strategy whilst walking. But turned out to be fine.
Yeah, like John Wayne.
Like John Wayne for a couple of days, which is hard when you're going up to Namche.
To be honest, I think one of the reasons why I've escaped it quite a bit, and this is a mass big, big recommendation from me, is that no matter what type of sort of underwear you get, I always think spend the money where it's needed.
Yeah.
I would rather get like a cheaper hat, gloves, jacket, and more expensive underwear, because there's anything that sits close to your skin is going to be the stuff that causes you a problem.
That's the where the friction happens.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there is makes, there's various different makes like Icebreaker, which are really expensive, merino wool. Mm. Then you've got bamboo and other sort of materials. I think as long as they're not sort of man-made materials, or at least they've got a natural like merino wool and bamboo. And I always buy the longer ones.
Okay.
So kind of almost like cycling short length.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they don't just stop where normal boxers stop. They go halfway down my thigh.
That's interesting. Yeah, sticking on to that kind of subject then around what you'd use to stop chafing.
Mm-hmm.
So what we got? Bamboo, merino. Essentially, any cotton's no good, is it?
No, cotton's
no good. If we build up a sweat, it's no good.
I think any sort of like man-made fibers are generally like, I don't know if any of you have ever bought, like I bought some cheap sort of training tops one time, and I'm pretty sure they were man-made fibers in there, and you stink in them. Like, you wear them for a day and you're like, do I really smell this bad? Because like they don't they just absorb everything. Yeah. They don't wick anything out, so all of your like stench just stays in there. Now if you get that next to your skin, it's going to be bad news, because all of that salt and sweat and stuff is not going to have been moved and evaporated off your skin. Yeah. It's going to just sit in the layer between your skin and the garment. And then over time, that causes issues. So, I really like the Icebreaker ones. I think they're really good.
And Icebreaker are good. They are pricey, but there are many, many options. I think it's interesting. You ever had, Alison mentioned there, have you suffered the underbra chafe? Any underbra chafe?
I think there's a couple of times where it's come close, but I've always gone to the gym a couple of months before I got there. But no, 100%, no, I agree with you. Like, I think I'm getting close, because... like some days I get that like under like sweat by here, know, and so I can certainly see how it happens. But I reckon it's a rubbish bra that would cause that, right?
Well, yeah, I know one for the ladies definitely, and you know, underbra chafe definitely if you're getting some sweat and it causes issues. Is anything that works for you, Alison? I know that for the ladies on the live as well, because I appreciate obviously me and Dave, you know, with our the issues from a chafing perspective. limited to lower body, majority of them.
Yeah.
But Brian makes a good point as well, though, around cycling pants, which are seamless. And it is usually the seams that cause the issue, right?
I think so, yeah. I think it's the seams. I mean, well, it depends on, I think it's two types of things. One, it is that, like, obviously, if you get, like, a seam,
that's going to be an aggro.
Yeah. But also, you want a material that is very high wicking and will move a lot of the sweat off your skin and evaporate it. If the sweat sits there and dries in the garment, all the sweat and everything is going to stay there, and that's when it gets you end up in
Jerome mentions 2022, due to really bad weather, we had to drive trek to Lukla, spent 2 days being tossed about a 4x4, severe carpet burns, chafing for the material on the back of the car. Felt like sunburn. That must have hurt. Geez, Jerome. Wow. It's that's definitely adventure travel, that trip, wasn't it? I do remember that one very well. But yeah, exactly. You could, there's so many ways you can get this. And, you know, Alison's mentioned there about Vaseline. Obviously, there are anti-chafe cream out there as well. Again, something else to take. But I remember years ago back, I believe, when was it, Bri? It must have been 2019. I met Bri on a training weekend.
Yeah.
And on the Saturday, I think it was very, very wet day. Absolute nuts. And I had some quite bad chafing that day. And Bri had obviously been in that situation before. I was like, use this, mate, Vaseline. Not sure why you brought Vaseline to a training weekend, but
you never know. But you know what?
It's always in my bag when I go away somewhere that I know I'm potentially going to get any chafing issues. You know, Vaseline just, again, stops that from happening. Clearly, as Alison said there, you know, for the Yetis. Sorry, it's because I saw Richard comment. Hey, Richard, how you doing, mate? Afternoon. Sorry, for the ladies and also for the guys as well, you know, when it happens.
And I found the video for one of my techniques and I've sent it to you.
Ooh.
So one of the things that I do is I get like talc. I know talc's not great for the environment, but you can buy other types of stuff that do the same thing. And I regularly use that and put a fairly sizable dose into the undercrackers, like before and after like a trek and things like that. And one time when I was on a trip to Namshi, I think I took it a little bit too far. And put a little bit too much in, because when I sat down, my mate just couldn't stop laughing. I think when it's ready, I mean, this video is great because not only will you get to see me in my pants.
Are you sure you want me to share this, Dave?
Put it up. People have seen
it's
worse.
It's processing.
Yeah. So,
I'll tell you what, I'm going to bring his biggest rage to bring up now.
Well, right, bring it in.
Good find. Yeah. So not only will you see Dave's legs and pants, but you'll see what you see. And this is in Namche, right?
This is in Namche on this is after the acclimatization hike, I think. So the next day we were going to go up to Tengboche.
Well, bring it in. Hopefully it works.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Talc to avoid chafing.
What?
Tragic.
I'm sorry. I want to see that again.
You want to see that again?
Go for it.
Talc to avoid chafing.
Yeah,
a very Welsh accent there.
Very Welsh. That's my friend Dan from Caerphilly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's a local boy. Yeah, me and Dan trekked together up there. When was that? April 2019. But that sort of stuff is amazing. Wow. Like, I also use it like clean your hair and stuff like that. You know, it's like
got dry, many uses.
Essentially,
it's not,
like dry
great
shampoo
for the environment. But
well, that's,
there are better
I think talc is bad for the environment, but there is stuff that's you can get that does the same job that isn't. I'm not sure why talc's bad for the environment. You know, I've always wanted to know that. Maybe one of the viewers can tell me, like, why is talc? Is it the same as like how aerosols and things? Is it the same sort of stuff in there? Do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There are bits in there that exactly. I think they're just because of synthetics potentially. Yeah. It's not natural stuff. I need to learn a bit more about it, but certainly there are other areas. And yeah, just to clarify, Bri is right. He did not apply the Vaseline.
Yeah.
Just for clarification. We were good friends and we're good friends now.
Mm.
But that takes it a little bit step far, doesn't it, Bri?
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to be stuck in Kathmandu for 10 days together before that would happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, all good, all good. Diane's on here as well. Diane, how you doing? 6:30 in Peru. Final day back to Cusco after a touristy day in Ollantaytambo. Machu Picchu by the Tomok here, it is amazing. Ah, no worries.
Oh, wicked.
Great comments as well. Nice to see Williams. I had a good time. Andy, Dave, thanks for the logistics. On the subject of your tuning, I've been absolutely fine on each of my tracks. This number 5, never had any chafing. good. That you're lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the ladies, I have non-padded sports bras, underwear being my daughter, always handy, and base layers that are from running events. Exactly. And I think it goes to show, doesn't it, that there are suitable alternatives out there and things to stop it from happening.
Yeah.
You know, you just gotta find it, really.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think one of the things as well that is really good, like cyclists use it a lot, is like chamois cream. In cycling shorts, there's a bit called the chamois, and basically what you've got to do is like, there's two schools of thought on the subject. One is you apply it to that and then put the shorts on.
Yeah.
Another one is you apply it straight to the main danger zone and then pull your shorts up.
Danger zone.
I've never liked it, really, because
Top Gun.
You've got to put enough on that it acts as a barrier.
Yeah.
But it feels like slimy and weird.
Which is always, I know what you mean.
Which I've never been that fuss on. But apparently you can use the same stuff for like the main chafe areas. And it's really good. I mean, and I think one's called chamois butter. I think ASOS do one.
Okay.
ASOS. In line with Muckoff, I think. There's a few different brands out there anyway. And I know there's one, I can't remember the full name of it, but I know it's got the word Glide in it. And I know Cotswold Outdoors sell it.
Carl mentions there, lanacane. Ever heard of that? Anti-chafing gel?
Lanacane.
Swear by it on my bike with Lycra.
Oh, no, I've never heard of
good lanacane. Good option, though, Carl. Yeah, it's handy to, it's good to see. You know, there's lots of different gels out there, anti-chafe stuff. And then obviously you can be proactive with it. Is that, you know, there are certain bits of equipment. Like I think, just looking at it here, who was it? I believe Simon. I'll bring the question in on the screen there. So is merino wool complete base layer the best option? I think, just taking on this one, it is, you know, in theory, thinking about it, you've got merino wool, which we know is wicking, so it gets the moisture off. And if you look in complete base layer, so it was on the kind of bottoms, you know, technically it should help. I'd say always balance that with, you know, is it a warm trek anyway? Like, for instance, wearing a base layer underneath, say on a hot day in kind of, you know, the first couple of days on Tubecal, or in Machu Picchu, or even in Tanzania and on Kili for that point, it might be a bit too warm. So again, there it's all about kind of the your underwear really that you want to kind of focus on. So when you're on the hot days, you might not necessarily need base layer bottoms, you know. So it does bring in a different challenge. But say if it was really cold, like the last few days of Everest Base Camp, you know, if you're on Mera Peak, Island Peak, maybe in Ecuador, you know, somewhere that's really cold, or you're looking at Patagonia, and you're wearing a merino wool base layer and you've got one, so it's for warmth and for kind of the anti-chafe stuff.
Yeah,
I think you're on to a winner.
Yeah, 100%. Elaine sorted me out. Body Glide is called.
Oh, there we are.
Is that stuff? I really do swear by merino wool as well. I think, particularly if you run hot. Now, one of the issues which I come into contact with because of like my, I would call it hyperhidrosis, but I don't think it's that bad. I think that's a
scientific.
I think that's a serious medical condition where people like sweat relentlessly. But I really don't do well in the hot temperatures. Never have. I can trek in them and I can keep up and everything, but I have to be on top of the fluids and everything because of the sweating. But the sweating then also means that a lot of like salt and stuff like that develops in my clothes. There is a picture again of me, and it was on that one in Tupacabra. Remember when I'm sat down, I really didn't feel too well.
You snapped a picture
of me, and you can see my t-shirt is just white.
It was pretty bad.
Where it's all come out. But I think the fact that you can see all of that white and that salt, it means you're sweating a lot, but also it means that it's being moved. Yeah. I think the layering's working. Merino wool, you can get lightweight, midweight, heavyweight stuff. I wouldn't wear heavyweight in a hot environment because it'll bake you. But the nice, loose, breathable t-shirts, you know, sometimes with a zip and stuff, they're really good.
I'm going to bring on Elaine's comment. Late to joining, what have I walked into?
Well, exactly.
To anyone that's joined us kind of just after the start, it's slightly different today talking about chafing. You know, also the bits as well that can help. Because you mentioned there, and there's some bits as well about keeping clean.
Yeah.
I think because Brian mentioned, slightly off topic, always take 10 minutes after a trek to dry your feet and talc. Look after your feet, they'll look after you. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I suppose when it comes to washing and cleaning, that's one of the challenges, I think, when you're on a trek, is how to keep clean.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard because there's no running water. And if it is, it's freezing. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to get a full wash. But there are other ways.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, so look, I try to adopt the same routine. Sometimes after a really hard day, you can't be bothered. So not everyone is going to do this every day, but on most of the days, like when you get back into your lodge or your tent, what I like to do is kind of like strip off and then just get either like a body wipe of some kind and just wipe over yourself, keep the main danger zone sort of clean. And it really does, it does make a difference, you know, keeping on top of the hygiene. I think Brian mentioned it as well, you know, if you're taking time to sort of like, if you've been sweating or walking in the wet or the rain, you know, taking time to dry your feet out, dry your boots out, dry your socks out, it makes a big difference.
Yeah,
especially if you've got a bed with like wet feet on, or wet feet because of wet sweat, feet on. Wet feet on. Yeah, take your feet off, put them on the radiator. I think is
they'll dry out.
It's a really good thing. Yeah, no, 100%. Like, and there are loads of different sort of you know, methods you can use. Some people get like dry soap or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like a little flake, but you just like rub it around your body, and that keeps you nice and clean. I probably do use like wet wipes and stuff like that. So it is important then to have a Ziploc bag, which I call the bag of death.
Yeah.
And you just throw them all in there, zip it closed, and then dispose about it. I think, I can't remember who it was. It might have even been Jerome a while back, a couple of years back, recommended these wet wipes. I've still not used them, but I like the idea of them, where like, it's like a meter square wet wipe. Like,
wow.
It's like a huge, massive wet wipe. That, so one wet wipe does the whole body. You know, so that might be a good idea to like avoid wastage or something like that.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? And there's good
environment
putting the words together, environmentally friendly versions of them now as well, definitely when it comes to washing, that you can dispose of, that, you know, they don't last very long. So yeah, obviously they're getting better in quality, some of the ones we've used. You know, they do kind of fall apart a little bit, but you know, hopefully, you know, as time goes on, you get better ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just while I was talking about, because I know we mentioned training weekends, I'm going to switch back to that off the back of what Bri mentioned. But yeah, we do have a few more spaces left on our training weekend in August, 9th of August. Yeah, it'd be great if you could join us. It's down here in Brecon Beacons, Banai Brecceiniog, with me and Dave. We do have one in Snowdonia that is fully booked at the moment, unfortunately, which is, well, awesome. But if unfortunately for anyone who wanted to join that, but we still got another weekend of magic in August as well. So yeah, we'd love to see you there. We've had a bunch of Evertrekkers book on over the last several days. You know, so there are spaces left on that. It'd be great to see you there if you fancy joining us.
Yep.
Diane said you gave me here. Yeah. I never put two and two together.
Okay.
I know vegans obviously don't eat any animal products, and I know they wouldn't wear leather or anything like that, but I never knew that a vegan wouldn't use wool.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because but they shave the animal, don't they?
Yeah.
But I guess it's more to do with like the farming aspect of that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, no, very interesting. In which case, because I always like things like that, because no matter how hard you try, come at it from your perspective.
Yeah,
like, I can't help but miss out on some of the advice and benefits that might benefit a female, and then other times like that. So I think in that case, maybe bamboo is another really good one.
Really, really good. And they've come on so much. Like in the last, I remember seeing them very early on, like 2019. There was kind of, they were getting there. And then 2020, the Adventure Travel Show, I saw someone there who was selling. Remember the one that was next to us?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they look good. Because we hadn't used them before. And then, you know, obviously over the last like 4 years, they've kind of taken off and they've become one of the main, you know, mainstays now, really, of underwear.
And I think the bamboo stuff as well is really quite soft and good. I don't know why, but when I first heard of it, I'm like, that doesn't sound like it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
But Bear Hug make their supports.
They do.
Supports, very
good.
Out of bamboo.
Yeah.
And I've recently started using them as a sort of knee support regular.
You had it on your wrist. Have you took it off today?
Yeah, well, I wore it all day yesterday because my wrist was quite sore.
Yeah.
But today it's not too bad. So I don't want to get too used to wearing it.
I was going
to
say, it's like one of those like Iron Man.
It'll be, I'll put it on when I go back to the gym.
Yeah.
Nice. But actually, they're really quite soft and nice on the skin, you know. So really highly recommend the bamboo stuff.
Darren mentions there was mention of weekend trips, but I don't think I've seen any advertised. Yeah, Darren, I'm not sure. Hopefully, you can see the link. I popped it in just above there to the weekend. If you do go onto the Evertrek website, open up the navigation, you'll see training weekends. It's got its own little section there, and you'll see in all those trips we run over weekends here in the UK. Obviously we don't do many in the year. Mainly because, well, the training weekends, especially not the skills ones, just the training weekends we run here in Wales. Yeah, obviously myself and Dave are on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'd love to be on more, but as you can imagine, we're obviously stuff going on outside of being a Yeti. But yeah, we're looking forward to those weekends, especially the one in August. Really excited if anyone can join us.
Yeah, we have a concerned citizen here. So ooh. Alison has asked, how's Jodie's knee? She was wearing a bear hug the show a couple of weeks ago. Well, Jodie is actually on the phones today, is my kind of like...
You all say on the phones.
It's because it reminds me of like... That's I don't know funny. Whether it's like Crime Watch or something, but they used to say, "Oh, we got the team on the phones now. If you want to like ring in, so unless Jodie wants to come through and jump on camera,
maybe she's not on today. She's not. Don't know. She could be on.
I'm pretty certain it's our Jode. So, Jode, tell us about your knee.
And she was wearing bear hug at the show. She was. I know it's still. It's getting better, but she still needs some physio on it. But she's a battler. We talk about unexpected hurdles and things that happen, like chafing. I know, obviously, you're having a dodgy knee is a lot more serious, but she's on the mend.
And she's a marathon and a trekker.
She is.
A marathoner. My favorite, my favorite, this is hilarious, by the way. I don't know if it's been publicized, but the picture of Jodie on the summit of Kilimanjaro. Where she sat there,
her leg is
kind of bent because she's like lifting her knee, and she's forcing a smile through like grin. I don't know if it was actual tears, but it was definitely gritted teeth. It's my favorite.
It's always emotional, getting onto the summit of Killy, which brings me on to our next.
Did you see how naturally?
See how naturally we did that?
Yeah.
Obviously, if anyone would like to join in our latest Kilimanjaro competition. Definitely get yourself in. I will drop the link in the comments now. Because I think Jodie is a bit tied up, but there we go. I will chuck it in. Anyone that hasn't entered yet, I know like Jerome's entered, been sharing it, which is fantastic. We've had heaps of Evertrekkers get involved. Even if you've done Kilimanjaro and you do get drawn out, you can still, you obviously get to use the same on another trip.
Sticking on the Jodie theme. Okay. I keep thinking of another, but it always cracks me up this idea.
She's gonna
shout at me. But when she had...
There she is, Jodie, there she's replying.
She had heated gloves, right, which she bought specifically.
Okay,
She brought them to Kilimanjaro. And then she gets on the mountain on the way to the summit. It's freezing. She hasn't had any. She left them in the tent.
Ooh.
And then she says when she comes back down... They were like placed like that on top of her sleeping bag left in the tent.
We've all done it. We've all left something we wish we would have had at that moment.
Yeah.
Definitely. That extra jacket, those extra pair of socks, those extra snacks. We always forget something, don't we?
Gloves. I remember my my Gore-Tex jacket on Tupacal when I was rummaging through it and I was like, any minute now, it's going to be in there. And it wasn't there.
I can't believe that went missing.
Yeah, so I think someone else
got an Evertrek jacket somewhere. Just like my Cardiff one.
Yeah, I don't think there was any shenanigans. I think it was a black jacket in a dark room and you all cramped together. There was like 20 of us in the lodge. So I think what happened was that it just got stuffed in someone's bag. Anyway, free advertising.
Free advertising, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've gone through a couple of jackets in your time.
We will not talk about that. Yeah. No, but yeah, jackets sometimes go missing. I suppose that's another point. If you are on a trek, do keep your items close. You never know. They can be picked up accidentally. It can happen, can't it? We've all done it. We've definitely all done it. One of the things as well, Dave, actually, we haven't talked about sizing. Because I think a big part of chafing, certainly when I've struggled in the past...
Is how big you are?
No. It's like sizing with, like, I had the wrong size shorts on. Fair. They were a bit too baggy. They probably weren't suitable for purpose. They were shorts.
Like board shorts type things.
Yeah, right? Exactly. They weren't active shorts. Yeah. So the type of material were great. But when it gets, when any moisture, so if it's wet, if it's raining, they're not the best. And I think sizing sometimes does come into it. If they're too loose, there's more movement there, that's going to cause aggro. So I think it's something to remind, essentially just to try stuff before you. Say you're here in the UK, you're out in the mountains, try the same stuff that you want to use on a trek.
Yeah.
Because then when if it's a downpour on a trek or it's a hot day, you've got them, you've already used them in a similar situation as much as you can anyway, previously. And I think that's quite important. Definitely trying the gear before you actually go on a trek.
Yeah.
I know what it's like. A couple of weeks before you go out shopping and you're buying new stuff. You know, okay, oh yeah, I want to get some base layers or I want to get some new shorts. Try them first though. Just yeah. You know, here in the UK before you rely on them too much on a trek.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I think whenever I've gone and bought a load of stuff to go on a trek, because every few years, what I find is, because I buy all my stuff at relatively the same time.
Yeah.
It lasts a few years, and then after a while, I'm like, oh, man, all of my trousers are just wrecked. So I've got to go and buy new ones. And you always, it can be a bit hit and miss with sizing, and it's tricky to make sure that you get the stuff that's fit for the cause.
Yeah,
I think this is hopefully why these types of things will help. I definitely highly recommend when you get the boxer shorts or whatever to go for longer ones. You can get them that come like halfway down the knee and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they make a huge difference.
So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. It was a bit of sad news, actually, but I always feel like it's always nice to keep people's memory alive. One of our ever trekkers, actually, Keith Walker, recently passed away, and he did Everest Base Camp with us a few years ago now, back in November 21. So literally just as COVID was kind of opening back up, and made it to Everest Base Camp. I just wanted to give him a little shout out, really, because an awesome ever trekker. He was part of the community, certainly from the early years. So heard about that today. No. It was quite sad, actually. I mean, whenever we lose one of our own, it's always sad. And just wanted to give Keith a kind of bit of a
amazing guy. I met him at the Adventure Travel Show 2019, I think it was. Amazing guy, like a very active runner, you know, climber, adventurer. He was inspiration, like that man.
Exactly. It's always hard when we hear about certain stories and things, and obviously all the positive stuff, and it's fantastic, and you know, we've got such a great community, but just rest in peace to Keith, really. I know he was one of our senior ever trackers, but he was a great guy.
Yeah, man was a legend. Inspiration to me, for sure.
You know, and making Everest Base Camp is awesome. I remember seeing a picture of his with obviously, you had the certificate and stuff, and it was great to see that and see him make it. So yeah, sad times. So it's a flip side, isn't it? Sorry to kind of feel like I'm bringing it down on the Tuesday tune in, but no, I think it's always nice to. That's what memories are about, keeping them alive. Because we're not here forever, are we? So yeah, it's always good to kind of bring it back to that deep stuff. And it's the reason we're all here, right? To make memories, even if chafing's involved. And have a laugh and have the best of it, and before it's our time is up.
Yeah.
Which, talking about time is up, we've got about another 10-15 minutes. Not just on chafing, hopefully. But any questions, do drop them in the comments. Don't have to be about chafing. I know that we've talked about many things already. You know, we've talked about like types of equipment we use, type of things that we can use if you do get chafing. Also as well, just around heat, and I suppose we'll come back to heat, because heat is a big factor on why we get chafing.
Yeah.
And Dave, with, I know you've had some kind of sneaky little tricks over the years about how to manage heat.
Yeah, no.
Sweaty day, you're in Marrakesh, and then you're up in the mountains the next day. How would you stay cool?
Yeah, no, 100%. So it's sort of been an obsession of mine for years to try and find a way that I can trek in the heat without sort of stressing about it. One of the things I think makes a big difference is I've started trekking in shorts now recently.
Okay.
You know, always just to wear trousers no matter what. But recently on my trek to Tupacal, I wore shorts. Nice. Even in the morning, when we set back off from the refuge, it was a bit cold. I started off in sort of warm layers. Warmer layers, and then when I got down like halfway and I could see the sun just opposite the shrine, I thought, right,
time switch to jump, up time
jump behind the rock, short t-shirt back on. So it was great. Brilliant. One of the biggest things that's really made a difference for me is one of these cool towels. They're so good. If you just put in like cool towel in Amazon, they're honestly amazing. So all you do is like, you get your towel, and usually I'll like soak it in like a, if I find a river, or I'll just pour water on it, and then you like rinse it and snap it, and then like squeeze it and snap it, and the thing stays cool to the touch for hours.
Yeah,
like at least 3 hours. And then what I tend to do that is like strap that around my head or around the back of my neck or something like that. And then on a really hot day, you know, if you're, you know, going uphill at like, and it's like 30 degrees, for me that's normally hell. Those cool towels, got them on my head, all of a sudden I'm like, wait, this is what normal people must feel like. So those cool towels for me are amazing.
Regulates temperature a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. You know, I haven't used them myself personally. Generally, run a little bit cooler, but I did try yours, and yeah, absolutely amazing piece of gear. I know they're not too expensive either, are they?
Like, quite quick. I think a tenner.
Amazon.
I think I paid for mine. Really? Maybe 15 quid at the most, but I think they're about a tenner. And I think they're called cool towels. Okay. Maybe I can find one and put it up there.
Whilst you're doing that, Jerome's asked, when is the competition drawn? So the competition is being drawn next week. So next week, we're going to chat all about Killy, as you can appreciate. Chatting about the Killy competition. So, yeah, on the 30th of April, we'll do the announcement next week, mate. So, yeah, Jerome, not too long, another several days. Get people in.
There you are. Sent you the link.
Oh, you sent me the link. Nice.
It was about 7 quid, I think, something like that.
Okay, I will bring it in, Dave.
And that's the exact one that I've got. And it's honestly, like, if you struggle with the heat, those cool towels can be a game changer. Nice. I wasn't sure if they'd work.
Pop it in the comments there, by the way. Have a little look. Clearly they work if you run hot.
Yeah. Another little tip for managing the heat as well is I always bring a spare base layer.
Okay.
Something like that. Like you've seen me change on a mountain and stuff like that. So halfway up or halfway. So I'll get to the peak or something. And then if I'm sweating and then I'm going to start off and it's going to be a lot of downhill, obviously, then, you know, I'm going to get quite cool. So I take that off, put a freshie on.
It's quite common to see the painted Yeti strip off on top of a mountain. Quite a common event, Dave.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Yeah, but I'm in nature, isn't I? You know, I got to relax.
Yeti's natural environment.
Exactly. But those cool towels definitely work. Yeah, I agree with Alison. Like you think they won't work. You think they're like a gimmick, but I don't know what goes on there, but they are magical. Also a sun hat. Everyone takes the mick because I'll wear like a bucket hat like the Happy Mondays or something. But let me tell you, when I see everyone else like this, oh, what's going on? Like, oh, I got sunburn on the back of my neck. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm great.
That's it. Well, yeah, 100%. They work for some people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I prefer a cap. There's a trusty cap.
Yeah.
But no, whatever works. And Dave is right. Like whatever works and keeps you, you know, out of the sun, especially, you know, we're talking about heat as well. Because when you're high altitude, the sun, you know, it feels stronger and is, you know, those UV rays are getting filtered less and less because you're higher up. Mm-hmm. The air is a little bit thinner. So, yeah, they do penetrate a lot worse. So if you're wearing a hat or... You, I remember before you had a hat with, like, a bit of cloth at the back.
Yeah, that was from Buff.
Oh, really?
The Make Buff, yeah. Well, it covers the neck buffs, yeah. It was just like a normal cap.
Yeah,
but it had like a bit of like Velcro on the back where you would have like this safari type thing.
Why not? If it works.
I bought it. That was in Nepal.
Yeah.
And I saw it in one of the shops in Kathmandu. I think it was in the North Face shop.
Okay.
And they sold, or not North Face, but it was one of those ones. And it was a legit shop. And I bought it and I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. And I bought the cap and I didn't know that it came with that thing. So I stuck it on. I was like, right, I may look like a knob. But I feel fantastic.
But if it, well, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant. As Evertrek has said there, Jodes, yeah, keep applying your suntan lotion too. I burnt my nose and lips on Killy. Ah, Jodes, it happens so much. I've done it God knows how many times and I forget about the lips.
Mm.
I'm fine everywhere else. I got these bloody red lips and then they blister and it's horrible. It takes about a week to recover.
You look like Pete Burns then.
Pete Burns.
I think it's Pete Burns.
Well, because he gets burned.
No, he did that. Is it Pete Burns? Or maybe I've just sort of slandered someone. I'm not sure. Or libeled someone. I'm not sure which one it is. He was the guy who did the "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby." Right.
Ooh,
round.
I don't know.
And I think he had some plastic surgery or something.
Really?
Like that. Yeah. Oh, no. Apologies to Pete Burns if I got that wrong. Yeah, Cat 4 Sunnies. Yeah, make a big difference.
If someone's just tuned in and they're thinking, "What can help chafing?" Cat 4 Sunnies. Different conversation. But yeah. 100% right there. You know, Cat 4 Sunnies, you know, anything that can help with the sun will hopefully reduce the chances. Yeah, you were right. Pete Burns, yeah, well, good knowledge, mate. I literally did not know who you were talking about.
Yeah, no, not to slag him off or anything, but I think he did have an issue
good
with
knowledge.
His lips. That's all.
Oh, no. Well, hopefully, you know, you want to stop that from happening. Definitely look after the lips from dead or alive.
That's it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, look, we've gone through a lot there. I know we have covered quite a bit to do with chafing.
Yeah.
I feel like we've exhausted talking about chafing.
Yeah.
But any kind of final thoughts as we're creeping towards the end?
I think the best way to kind of make sure that you're comfortable in all environments, no matter what trek I'm going on, even if I'm going to Morocco in July, maybe not then, but I tend to pack for four seasons to a degree. Like if I'm going to Morocco in July, there'll be a lot that is hot weather related, but I'll also bring my Gore-Tex jacket and things like that. And if I'm going to Nepal or Kilimanjaro, I definitely trek for four, pack for four seasons. But yeah, just make sure you've got yourself covered in any event, because it's the, you know, there's a, it might even be a Hillary quote, but it's not the mountain that wears you down, it's the tiny stone in your shoe.
Who said that? It's a bloody good quote.
I think it's Hillary. And that I always think about that when it comes to things like this, because it's not the 26 miles that you've got to walk. Yeah. It's the fact that your boxes are uncomfortable, or you're sweating too much, or you can't cool off. It's the detail in the challenge that make it a challenge. And if you look after that, I think you'd be fine.
Exactly. It's the small things, isn't it, that can jump in the way, and the things you're not even focused on, and then it can stop everything else from happening. You know, which we obviously want to avoid on all treks. But look, thanks for joining us today. You know, it's great to see, you know, Diane out in Peru, Jim in Nepal. Enjoy the rest of your trips. I know, Jim, you've obviously got a little bit of time to go, but Diane's coming towards the end. Diane, it'd be great to see your pictures, videos from that trip. Definitely drop us a message. Be great to see you. But like I said, we'll be back next week. Is the Kilimanjaro winner announcement competition for the competition we're running at the moment. Definitely get involved with that. But other than that, Dave, we'll see you. Yeah. See you all next week. I was going to say Tuesday then, but that's rude.
Yeah, right? see you next Tuesday.
But we'll see you next week. And no worries. Have an awesome week, whatever you're up to.
Take it easy, guys. Bye.
Bye.